Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I remember before he hit play, he told me, well, you wouldn't be in this situation if you weren't so provocative. If you didn't act provocatively, if you didn't invite these situations upon you, you wouldn't be here. And I couldn't believe it, because I was the victim. I hadn't done anything wrong. I wasn't wearing a short skirt or a see-through blouse. And it wouldn't have mattered if I had, because I had said no. But that didn't matter to him, and I knew that from the start. I feel like he just called me a slut.
That was a woman named Haley who was recently raped in Minnesota. She's part of our next podcast, Inside the News, investigating rape and her experience with the officer allegedly investigating, working on behalf of her to get her rapist. By the way, her case was never charged because they claimed there wasn't enough evidence, even though she had text messages from her perpetrators admitting it. So when people say, where's the evidence, where's the evidence? You can still have evidence and your case goes nowhere. We live in a culture where we do not believe victims of sexual violence.
But there is this meme, this belief out there among some, I hope it's not a majority, who say, well, yeah, you were dressed a certain way, or you were in a bad part of town, or you were out after midnight.
For shame.
One of our listeners on the comment line writes, ladies, why dress provocatively if you aren't advertising?
You.
Do you have any comment, any response to that, George?
On this eve of Yom Kippur, where I'm supposed to be atoning for my sins tomorrow, I will refrain from comment. The listeners can laugh at that person on their own.
Another person asks, what about Keith Ellison? Where's the Democratic outrage?
There's plenty of it. Plenty of it. If he sexually assaulted his ex-girlfriend, goodbye. Goodbye, Keith Ellison. You're done. Right? Who's voting for somebody who sexually assaulted somebody? I'm not.
So this cuts across partisan lines, right?
There's plenty of outrage to go around.
It swings both ways.
Right? Good. Franken resigned. He was accused also. He felt, okay, I can't go on like this. I mean, the president asked him to resign because of his incident. I guess the president feels differently about Brett Kavanaugh. But you know what? Franken said, I'll absolutely. If I did something wrong, even whatever he felt about it or not, the women said, yeah, you did something wrong. And he resigned.
Another person asks on the comment line, what if she is lying?
It will be proven if she is lying.
My first reaction is, what incentive does she have to make this up? I mean, is it to sell a book? Is it for fame, for glory, for 15 minutes of really?
Let's keep in mind. Maybe she's lying, but it's in her therapy notes from 2012. She also passed an FBI polygraph test.
Is Brett Kavanaugh going to take a polygraph?
I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know what the hearings
is that beneath the dignity of a judge, sitting judge?
I don't know the answer to that. I'll have to Google that for you and get back to you.
Have your people contact my people.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't even been looking. Hold on. We got folks on the line here. Mike's in Rosemount. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling in and joining the conversation.
Yeah, good afternoon. It kind of was just what Paul just said kind of leads into my – it kind of surprised me a little bit what Paul just said when he said, what? Why would she say this? Why would she lie? I was just wondering if you guys would host another call later on sometime about victims of false accusations. In my example, I worked for a guy at CompUSA, a store manager, and he closed one night, closed the store. And then the next day or two, the lady that he closed the store with, who was an ops manager, she made a claim against him that as they were closing, he made inappropriate
advances.
Yeah.
Move. Yeah, advances. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so it went pretty high. She reported that to CompUSA headquarters when they were still here in Minneapolis, and it went on up and she stuck to her story all the way until it finally came to court, and she finally broke down. And what she said was that she wanted to come up with these claims, hoping that his wife would leave him and that she would have a shot at being with him.
Oh,
and she admitted that it never happened. So that would be a kind of a thing for you guys to do. Have a call in of victims of false claims. But my other point to this, does it give either of you any pause that the attorney for this lady now was also the attorney for Bill Clinton, and she attacked Paula Jones with the claim that she was a gold digger and that she was just looking for PR? And I mean, she said the exact same things about Paula Jones that she's now trying to fight off comments coming for this lady.
Terrible.
It's kind of weird that she's on the flip side of the coin.
Yeah.
So,
gosh, I certainly could never excuse somebody's behavior, but she's probably just being a lawyer.
Well, look, the whole Me Too movement, it's more than just women's justice. It's more than social justice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's kind of turning into a political movement, right? Women are saying, hey, you're going to hear us, and we vote. By the way, P.S., we vote.
That's true. Yes. Yes.
And so, and people say, well, why did it take so long? I think, and I don't know the answer, but I suspect maybe it took Professor Ford many, many years mm-hmm. and a lot of therapy to work up the courage to come forward. People say, well, why a few days before the hearing? Her response is she feels that she has a civic responsibility,
right. mm-hmm.
that she has a responsibility to the public to make this known. You know, could she, should she have come forward mm-hmm. years ago? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And you know what? We don't get a choice in that. If she's a victim, it's her story to tell. She gets to tell it whenever and wherever she wants to tell it. Susan, you have been waiting so long in Iowa. Thank you for calling in, Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was intrigued by the woman who spoke about cultures changing. And I do believe some cultures are changing, not the ones necessarily for the people who have been assaulted, but more for the people who are caring for them. At least I hope that's the case. In my case, I was in a state far away, and it was 46 years ago, and that was 1972, when Roe versus Wade had not started. I am never a believer in Roe versus Wade, and even if I had become pregnant when I was raped, I would never have aborted a child. That's not in my being. But I would tell you that when I woke up in hospital housing and I had a man sitting on the bed next to me with a knife at my throat, I had absolutely nothing that I could do to defend myself. And I'm a pretty assertive woman, and I felt so horrible that this had nothing to do with what he thought it was and everything to do with what I knew it was, and that was trying to be dominant in a situation to make himself feel better by demeaning someone else that he didn't even know. And as I was thinking about this when I was going to go on the air, made me almost have a panic attack, because just reliving it sometimes is hard. I got a little sick to my stomach and short of breath. But what happened was that the police said, oh, come on, just admit it. You're pregnant and wanted a free abortion. And I said, I don't even remember what I said. I was so appalled, I probably didn't say anything. And they continued to question me in that regard. And finally, they took me to the emergency room, it seemed like hours later. And the nurse there was a nurse who had been there for years, I was 21 years old. I'd never had an exam. I didn't know what any of this was. She said, oh, buck up. You're a nurse. You know what's happening. Well, you know what? When you're a nurse, you know. When you're a rape victim, all of your knowledge goes out the window. So my hope is that people are being treated better now when they make an allegation, because no one but them knows what went on. And as Jordana keeps saying, everybody has a right to be heard. And whether it happens 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 46 years ago, it is a trauma that you never get over. So I'm praying that people keep this in mind when they're trying to make judgments about other people that they know nothing about, and trying to say that the so-called, quote, victim, in your words, is making it up. Don't jump to justice. Don't jump to judgment so quickly. You're not the judge.
Susan, you are amazing. You are amazing, and you are strong and powerful, and we thank you for sharing your story here with us.
Thank you for your eloquence and the courage it took to say that.
It was tough, but thank you for listening.
Susan, stay on the line. I want to talk to you during the commercial break and say hi.
Ugh.
It's 3:52. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.